If you've got your Bibles, you can go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Praise the Lord. I'm sharing a message today. I did speak along these lines. It'll probably be a little different today, but in Olean last night. And I'm preaching a message I've never preached before in my whole life. But God dealt with me during the Durant meetings, and I started to feed and meditate on it. And it brought me great blessing, and it'll bring you great blessing today. Amen? Father, thank you for the word this morning. Father, thank you that you love us so much. You gave us a roadmap. You gave us a compass. You gave us a GPS. Father, we don't have to stay stuck. We don't have to stay defeated. We don't have to stay lost. Father, we know exactly how to get to victory. You have lined it up for us to be successful and victorious in this life. And we thank you. That is so merciful and kind of you. And Father, as we get ready to approach your word, we do so humbly. And Father, we ask you for your help. Father, it's not about me or the name on the building outside. It's about Jesus. We're here to lift him up. So Father, we're here to bring our supply, to be hungry, and to thirst after what you have for us. But Father, we also know we're here to receive from you as well. So Father, we thank you that you'll bless us. You'll satisfy us. Because you said if we'll be hungry, that's what you do. So Father, I thank you. As I open my mouth, you'll fill it. Words from heaven will flow through my mouth, and people we'll hear things today that will be pertinent and specific to their life, the season that they're in, and the circumstances they're facing. And Father, it'll be like unto them, how they'll think, how did Pastor Mike know to say that? How did he know I needed to hear that? And the answer is, I didn't, but you did, Father. So we look to you, and we thank you this morning. And Father, I thank you for each and every person that was hungry enough to come out here today to be faithful, to be in your house for their visitation. I thank you they'll walk out of here blessed. It'll be worth their time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, popular verse around here, says above all. Amen. I mean, you can just stop right there and camp out. Well, what does it mean above all? It means this is priority, right? It means pay attention to this. It means that, yeah, there's other things that you don't want to neglect and that are worthy, but there's something that you got to take special notice of. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. So when he says above all, he's talking about above all the other pieces of armor. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the devil, you know, in his kingdom. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But then he goes on and lists all the different armor of God. But then in verse 16, he says, but above all things, above all the pieces of armor. What's he saying? I'm highlighting this one. I'm emphasizing this one. He says, take the shield of faith. Now, notice whose job it is. He says, we're to gird ourselves with the armor of God. He's not going to put it on for us. Whether or not we walk out every day into a world that the Bible says is run by the devil in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, with the shield of faith is up to us. It's not up to him. But we know around here, and let me just real quick mention this to for those that are newer with us, for those that maybe have been with us for a while and just don't, maybe it's gone in one ear out the other, just to help you. Faith is something we better not leave at home. Why? Number one, the Bible says faith pleases God, Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 4 that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. God gives us the winning formula. He says this is the victory that overcomes the world. Being a Christian, no. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Going to church, no. Those things are good and get you in the right line. But there's a lot of Christians that are going to church that are heaven bound but live in hell on earth. Amen. It's true. I know. Depressed and anxious and fearful and stressed out and just completely defeated in their life. Now, Christians shouldn't be void of trials because there's always an enemy. But I'm talking about the trial overcoming people. Amen. He says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith, your faith. You can't walk out with pastor's faith or the Durant's faith or Pastor Michael Lekedek or Pastor Nancy Dufresne's faith or the TV preacher's faith. You got to walk out with faith. But he says to take that shield of faith. We know that the Bible says in Hebrews 6 and verse 12, faith is how we receive from God. In Mark 9 verse 23, he says, all things. That means no matter what you're facing, no matter how hard it seems, no matter how impossible it seems, no matter what the devil's telling you, he said, all things are possible if I can get you to believe it. He said, that's it. That's what it hinges on. all things. So you think whatever I'm facing, it's just an all thing. Praise God, it's just an all thing. See, you've magnified it, the devil's magnified it, but I'm here to tell you, it's just an all thing. And God is bigger than your all things. Amen, He is. He is. And so He says here, take the shield of faith, which we know is how we please God, how we're victorious, how we overcome in the world, how we receive from Him. But He gives us another clue. He says, wherewith taking the shield of faith that you'll be able. So this shield of faith gives you an ability. That means if you leave it at home, you lose that ability. But what's the ability? He says, with the shield of faith, you'll be able to quench all. Everyone say all. That's every attack, every angle, every scheme of the enemy. He says, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He says, your faith can stop the devil in his tracks. Don't leave home. Isn't that what they usually say about Visa or MasterCard? It's one of the two. Don't leave home without it. They have it wrong. Don't leave home without your faith. Amen. Amen. Don't leave home without your faith. It's able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, I'm a big fan of superheroes, especially when I was younger. I was, I mentioned this last night. I don't know why. I just feel like I need to say this. As I was saying it last night, I was thinking in my head, this is stupid. But here I am again about to say it. Because I can't help myself. Things come in my head and they just come out my mouth. I mean, it's just a crazy thing that happens with me. But in my opinion, if you really get down to their powers and their abilities, and really, you know, not look at the color of their costume or who's more handsome. In my opinion, there's no greater superhero than Superman. See, we got some Superman fans. With the abilities that guy has, really, it cracks me up, the Superman versus Batman. Batman's just a rich dude in a suit. He's not a superhero. I know that's a debate for another day. Where are we going with this service? Get it back. Someone get this back on track. But my point is, since I was younger, I was fascinated with Superman. Flying, his powers, he can, with his mouth, make ice and blow. I mean, eyes, x-ray vision, and shoot fire out. I mean, that guy can do it all. Stop a train. You thought Rich Luce was the only one that could stop a moving vehicle. For those of you who don't know, Rich is a miracle. He got hit by a truck, and there he is. We got our own in-house Superman back there. Praise God. Glory to God. Here I am calling more people out. Just embarrassing everyone today, but no, it's a testimony of God. Praise the Lord. But he'd stop a train, you know. He could pick. I mean, he's just so powerful. I was infatuated with him when I was younger. But Superman had a weakness. For those of you who don't know, it's called kryptonite. It was this greenish type rock type gem type, I don't know, glass stone thing called kryptonite. And when Superman was in the presence of kryptonite, his powers would subside. He would become weak in that. Ladies and gentlemen, your faith is like kryptonite to the devil. Your faith is like kryptonite to the devil. Can I give you my Superman story? It'll entertain you a little bit. So infatuated with him, you know, growing up, I had a lady that sewed me a costume, full costume. You know, I'm talking about the red tights. Or actually, I think it was, you know, around the brief area, it was red and the legs were blue and the boots were red and the costume was blue, you know, and then the big emblem and then the cape. I had it all. And I was in kindergarten or first grade, and I woke up one morning and I went to a Christian school back then, and you had to dress up and wear your little dress pants and your dress shirt, and it was cold outside, a long sleeve shirt. And that day I left for school, I was looking a little more bulky than usual. I woke up that morning feeling like somebody was going to need to be saved. So I put my Superman costume on underneath my things, and I tucked my little cape in, and I looked like I had a bubble butt of all bubble butts. My cape was tucked in there, you know, and my mom said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Going to school. What are you doing?" Seemed like. She said, "What do you have on?" I said, "Nothing." Maybe she had x-ray vision. Or she saw, "That does not look like my kid's hiney." Oh, Lord, where's this service going? Why not? We're already in the toilet anyways. Let's keep it there. When my appendix exploded, one of the things that happened to me is I got an abscess in my backside. Grandma's pointing at me. She knows all about this. Because when I was all drugged up in the hospital, I was texting her the craziest things. Don't ask her for the texts. I'm sure she's got them on hold, but I had an abscess in my backside. I was feeling so much pain laying there for so long. Finally, when I got up, I was walking, and I looked in the mirror, and my rear end grew like 4 sizes. I said, what in the world happened? I mean, I went through the ringer. But anyways, Mom saw that and said, get back in here. Took it off, you know, and said, you're not going to school like that. But my point was I was infatuated with Superman, but the thing about Superman is he did have a weakness. And the devil can do some things. He's got a resume, doesn't he? He steals, he kills, and he destroys. But, ladies and gentlemen, his kryptonite is faith. It stops him in his tracks. So if you want to stop the devil in his tracks, you can't go out without faith, praise God. Now, John chapter 8 and verse 44. I want to show you something real quick on how the devil works. Wait till I call the Drants and tell them what they did to me. I mean, we have gone off the rails today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for someone to be fake and eloquent and change the way he is, you're in the wrong place. I just am who I am, right? John 8, 44. It says, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He, talking about the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The enemy is a liar. And you say, well, how does the enemy work? Well, see, the devil can't force you to do wrong. He can't force things to happen upon you, but what he can do is deceive you. How did he get Adam and Eve to obey him? He deceived them. How did he get Jesus to try to obey him in Luke 4? He tried to deceive him. Well, the Bible says when Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, in the end days, people will depart from the faith. That means they were in the faith, they were getting blessed, they were going the way of God, and they departed from it. Well, you'd think, who in the world would depart from the faith? Ladies and gentlemen, I know a gentleman. He doesn't go here, you don't know him, so that's why I say this. I know a gentleman who went to Rhema Bible Training Center when Brother Hagin was there in the heyday, in the 90s, when he's preaching the word of faith, and he's in Brother Hagin's classes during the day, because Brother Hagin used to teach back then, winter Bible seminar, camp meeting, I mean, the word of faith, miracles, signs, and wonders. He's witnessing these things. He graduates from the best Bible school in the land at that time, and he has forsaken Christianity to take up Judaism. You say, how in the world can something like that happen? Well, Paul told Timothy, he said, in the end days, some will depart from the faith. That means they were in the faith. How? Giving heed or paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, remember this. The doctrine of God is truth. Jesus said, my words are spirit. They're truth. They're life. Well, doctrines of devils are doctrines of lies because the devil is a liar. So what the devil does is he starts talking to people through suggestion. You know, the devil works in the mind. He suggests things. The greatest power the enemy has is to suggest things. When you're sick, it's not your sickness that's the problem. It's believing the lies that you're going to stay that way for the rest of your life. That's the problem. When you're broke, it's not the money that's the problem. Because God's got the answer to the money problems. It's believing the lies of the enemy that you're going to stay broke the rest of your life. And he talks and talks and talks to try to get people to believe that. Why? Because faith is how we receive. And so he's a liar. He lies to people. And this is where we're going today. One of the things that the devil will tell people is that for what you're facing, well, boy, if it was Pastor Mike, or if it was the Durants, or if it was Brother Hagin, or Pastor Michael, or Reverend Randy Greer, or Pastor Scott Webb, you know, the ministers we have in and things, well, if they were going through it, their faith's enough. They could do it. If you know, they surely have enough faith to believe, and the devil will tell you your faith's not enough, and that you're not in faith, and so therefore you can't receive, because we preach it from the rooftops, that you have to be in faith to receive, and you do. And he'll tell you to question, I must not be in that much faith. Things aren't changing for me. Things have stayed. I'm just not. He'll sit there and on your shoulder and try to get you to buy into that, because if you start believing that, it takes you off a place of faith. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you and help you today. I believe you're going to be really blessed by the time we get out of here. Amen. But you know, it's usually around 11:30. So if you're visiting with us, I don't preach till 3 or 4 because we want you to come back. Amen, hallelujah. But go to Romans 10 and verse 17. I want to help you with your faith today. Because he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our, and you make that personal when you read that, not Pastor Mike's faith, not the Durant's faith, not Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy, their faith. No, no, no. You are going to overcome on your faith. You know, there's a song, Christian song, your grace is enough. Could change those words. Your faith is enough. And it is. I'm going to prove it to you here today. What you have on the inside of you has the ability and the power to turn and change things. You don't have to look to, oh, I don't, if Jesus would appear to be here, if Pastor Mike would do something, or, man, if I could have the faith of what Brother Hagin had. No, 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 no. What you have on the inside of you is devil chasing, situation turning, overcoming type power on the inside. But you need to be aware of it. Can you imagine? Superman had all that, those powers, had no idea. I know it's silly talking about a comic book person, but think about it. If he didn't know, he had all those powers, and the enemy shows up, and he just, I don't know what to do. I didn't know I was so strong. I didn't know I could shoot out of my, I didn't know the force of my breath could do all that. He wouldn't use it then. Same thing. If you're not aware of what's in you, you'll stay dormant. You'll stay neutral of these things. So let's talk about your faith here this morning. Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith cometh, or faith is birthed, or faith comes onto the scene. And we need it, right? It's how we receive, it's how we are victorious, it's how we quench the enemy's darts, it's how we please God. We know we need it. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So the Bible tells us flat out, if you need faith to overcome, to receive, to get the devil off your back, he tells you how to get it. The more word you hear, more faith will be birthed and will come. Amen?
Amen?
It's a spiritual law. You could spend all week going from the front to the back of the Bible, and you'll not find anywhere else where it tells you how to get faith. There's no other way. There's only one way to get faith. It's by the hearing of God's word. Now, there's ways to strengthen our faith by using it like a muscle, but that's not how we get it. Amen?
Amen.
You have to hear God's word for faith to come on the scene, and then you release your faith and the promises manifest. So hearing, the Bible says a spiritual law happens when you hear the word, faith is birthed in you. Now let me tell you something about this verse in your life. Every Sunday morning, every midweek service, guess what's happening? The word is getting preached to you. I mean, I'm a stickler for the word.
Amen.
It's getting preached to you. You're not hearing opinions. You're not hearing philosophies and theories. You're hearing the word. Well, what's happening? Something's being birthed in the inside of you. You have the ability. We just got an extensive overflow overdosage, I guess, of the word with the Durants here. All those services that you were in, guess what was happening? Something was getting bigger and being birthed and growing and growing. Faith in you. We have the ability in 2018 to go on our website and to find hundreds of sermons that I've preached and different ones when the guest ministers have been here and Pastor Michael to get more word into your life. We have MP3 players and iPods and YouTube to watch things like Brother Hagin. What am I saying is we have heard the word. So you know what that means? You have faith on the inside of you. You are in a position, well, let me just go ahead and show you this. Go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Because the devil will get on your shoulder and he'll lie to you about, oh, you don't have enough faith, you don't have enough this, you don't have enough that, you're not this, you're not that. Well, let's point out who you are and what you have. And draw from that. See, when Superman realizes what he has, if there's something he needs, okay, I need to use my X-ray vision, I'm going to draw from that. If I need to stop somebody with my palm, I'm draw from that power. Well, let's find out what you have on the inside of you so you can draw from that. Praise God. Make withdrawals. Hallelujah. But Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better but rather grew worse. So what is she in? She's in an impossible situation. She tried the medical community, they didn't have the answer for her. She tried financially, didn't have the answer. She's broke now, and she's sick and weak. After 12 years, she keeps getting worse and worse. So she's in a desperate situation, isn't she? Ever been there? Ever been there? She's in there. But the Bible says in verse 27, when she heard of Jesus. Now, what do we find out about Romans 10:17? What comes when you hear the word? Faith. So when she heard of Jesus, someone mentioned to her, in her town is coming a guy. And he brings with him this power to change lives and overturn situations and destinies. She hears that, and for 12 years, it's desperation and it's a terrible life, and she hears that, and hope rises on the inside of her. Remember Sister Annie preaching about hope? Difference between worldly hope and biblical hope. They're different. Hope rises in her. Like, I can see the change on the horizon. That's Bible hope. Amen? I can see it changing. And so she says, well, the word says when you hear the word, faith comes. So when she heard of Jesus, faith rose up on the inside of her. So what'd she do? She acted on her faith. And then look what it says in verse 34. Some things happen in between here where he ministers to her, whatever. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, your faith. Well, what kind of faith? The kind of faith that comes when you hear the word. He says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. See, there was a lot of people there trying to touch Jesus, and they were touching him, but didn't get what she got. Why? They didn't come with faith. It takes faith to receive. But Jesus said when she got into faith, it caused that which was unwhole to be made whole. That which is broken in your life, faith will fix. That which is unwhole in your life, faith will fix. That which needs turned around in your life, faith will do it. The power was available to anybody, but she made a withdrawal of that power from the faith that was down in her when she heard. But here's my point about this woman. She wasn't in church every Sunday. She wasn't in church every Wednesday. She didn't come to guest minister meetings and sit there for 4 or 5 nights in a row and hear the word. She didn't get on the archives and start listening to the word. She didn't get on YouTube and watch Brother Hagin's sermons and feed and watch Pastor Nancy's sermons and feed on those things. She simply was told one at a time, Jesus is coming. Faith rose up in her, and look what that faith did for her life. Imagine your position. Hear the word every Sunday. Hear the word every Wednesday. Hear the word at guest minister meetings. Hear, listen in your car. Listen at home. Listen on YouTube. Listen on the archives. You're constantly feeding on this thing that can cause something to grow big. How much more advanced should our faith be than hers? But yet, the little that she heard caused her whole world to change. You don't realize, people, what you have on the inside of you. Go to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Excuse me. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. These are the people that were there. And when he heard that Jesus, what, someone had preached the word to him. Someone told him, hey, there's a healer coming. There's a healer coming and it's available to you. That was the extent of the word he heard. Someone told him, he's a blind man sitting on the side of the road begging. That's what he does for a living. We know he did that for a living because they gave him a coat, a special coat for it. That people in his condition could wear because that way, you know, people would be scam artists back in the day. And if they got a certain coat by the government, he could beg and people would know he's legit because the government gave that coat. He needs help. So he's in a desperate situation. He's on the side of the road begging. That's what he does every day. His face isn't in YouTube. His face isn't in the archives. He's not in church every Sunday and every Wednesday. He's not. He's not at guest minister meetings a few times a year for an extended time from Sunday to a Tuesday and being there and feeding. He heard of Jesus and he acted, didn't he? And then was it saying verse 52? And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith did this. Your faith did this. You know, religion will say, well, that was because Jesus said. No, Jesus, there were lots of people trying to get stuff from Jesus, but most of the time in the Bible, when you read Jesus did something, it was because of their faith. See, God's power is always available. God doesn't change. He doesn't wake up one morning and say, you know, today I'm not going to have the power on. The power's always turned on. He's waiting for someone to draw on it and cooperate with it. Amen. That's what Jesus did in Mark chapter 5. They said the multitudes were thronging him because Jesus said, who touched me? When that woman touched him, he felt something go out of him. He felt power go out of him. He said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, you're crazy. There's multitudes touching you. But not multitudes weren't receiving. And his will was for everybody to receive. Hallelujah. My point here, your faith made you whole, blind Bartimaeus. Not in live stream, not in church, not in the archives. Just heard the word. And the faith that rose up from that caused his world to change. Do you know how much word you get saturated with around this place and in this camp? We are word people. We douse you with the word. They didn't have what we have available to us. Amen? But look at what their hearing of what they did have turned into for them. You know what my point is? Their faith was enough. I've already proved to you, you have faith. Because the Bible says when the word is preached and you hear it, faith rises up in you. You have enough faith to move and to change and to turn anything around. I'm not saying faith can't be strengthened and faith can't be firmed up in different things. But we're talking about people who got such a little dose of the word that turned into something so great. Go to Matthew 17 and verse 15. Anybody getting help today? If you only knew what was inside of you. If you only knew. Matthew 17 and verse 15. Matthew 17 and verse 15. Actually, go back to verse 14 for the context. It says, and when they were come to the multitude, when the disciples came to the multitude, there came to him and Jesus, a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. He was crazy in his mind. And is sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and oftentimes into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cure him. Look what Jesus said. Jesus answered, said, O faithless. What's the first thing he pointed out what the problem was? No faith. No faith. Got to have faith. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Jesus coming in and cleaning up the mess. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Verse 20, Jesus said to him, simple, because of your unbelief. Ladies and gentlemen, we do need to get in our heads the importance of faith. That's why you can't leave without it. James said about faith, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea, being driven and tossed by the wind, let not that man, who the waverer, think they'll receive anything from God. A lot of people are blaming him. But maybe we should look in the mirror at our faith and see, do we believe him? Because faith gets it done. He said, it's because of your unbelief. Now here's what I want you to see. For verily I say unto you, when he says verily, he means it's true. It's a statement in those days when you say for verily, you're making an emphasis that I'm telling you the truth. He said, I'm stressing this. Why? Because he knew what they were about to hear was going to be heavy load to their ears. Like, no, that can't be. But he said in the beginning, I'm telling you the truth. Here it is. If you would have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You know how small that is? It's tiny. He said, if you'd have just that much faith, he said, you'd say to the mountain, not something that is equivalent the size of the mustard seed, the mountain. What's the mountain in your life? Something that's huge, that's in your way, that's causing you problems, that looks like it's impossible to get past. That's a mountain. He said, if you'd have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you'd say to the mountain, remove from here to a yonder or faraway place, and it shall remove. And nothing, everybody say nothing, nothing shall be impossible to you. Now here's what I want to show you. This is putting an emphasis on the power of what faith can do. Because he says, if you can just have, because faith in and of itself is a force. It's devil stopping. It's overcoming. It's pleasing God ability. It's receiving from God ability. So faith on its own is powerful. And he said, if you'll just have faith the size of a mustard seed, That amount of faith is so powerful, it can tell mountains to get out of the way and they'll go. Small faith. But we know the more you hear the word, the more faith rises up and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So my point is this. Blind Bartimaeus and the woman with the issue of blood, they might have only had mustard seed size type of faith, but mustard seed size type of faith is enough to move a mountain. And how much word do you have in your life? More than she did, more than he did. I mean, you are so filled with the word and so filled with faith, we've not recognized it. Because we've believed the lies, or we've looked to somebody else and said, oh, if I could just be like them. No, you've heard. You've heard the word, praise God. It's just got to be small. You know, I remember being at Rhema Bible School there. In 2003, I went there. It's the year Brother Hagin passed away. And, you know, I went to Rhema. I had just gotten saved. Oh, let's see, it would have been a year and a half earlier. So my point is this. I know way more now than I do back then, and still now I know there's way more I don't know now, but I do know more than I knew back in 2003. And so I was only in church for a little bit, you know, and hearing things and felt called to go there, but when I got saved, before I got saved, I had just come off a stint as a sinner, you know, as a Christian, of 26 jobs in 2 years. No integrity, no character, was not faithful, could not be counted on. You know, I was living a life of drugs and alcohol. I had a gambling addiction, and I was sorely depressed to the point of, you know, the far as you can go with depression, you know. That's the way my life was before Jesus. So I had tried different things, you know, colleges and different professions and told my family this, told my family that. And so when I get born again and I start to change, not everybody's buying it, and I don't blame them. And so when I tell them I'm going to be a preacher, the eye rolls and Mike's at it again. Because I mean, I talked about, you know, being a fisherman in Alaska. I mean, you name it, I probably, a teacher, a gym teacher, a physical, I mean, I went through the list, you know. And now I'm going to be a preacher. But see, I knew I had changed, but other people might not know. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Yeah. Prove that thing out, you know. And so when I went, my point is this, I didn't have money to go. Nobody in the family was going to help me with this Bible school. So I packed my truck up in my young 20s, you know, just not knowing anything about really anything. Packed my 1990 Nissan pickup truck up, you know, the one I threw a snowball through? That's how rusty it was. And I drove to Oklahoma, and I had enough money for my first month's rent and my first month's tuition. And so I went there, got a job, you know, at Reese's Deli in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And my truck started leaking gas as fast as you could put it in. It was coming out the bottom. The lines were all rusted out. And, you know, I always say this. I don't think it would have been true, but I always would drive down the road and think, please don't throw a cigarette under my truck. Please don't throw a cigarette under my truck. You know, the movies, they show you blowing up. I said, I don't want to blow up. You know, the gas just pouring out. But whether or not that would happen or not, you know, some mechanic can tell me if that's true or not. Mythbusters. Maybe you've got to watch Mythbusters to find out. But anyways, the gas was coming out, and I couldn't drive it anymore. So I had to get it fixed. I had a choice to make. Pay for the truck or pay for my tuition. My tuition was due, and you know, I wanted to finally be a man of integrity. I wanted to finally pay my bills when they were due. I didn't want to take advantage of a Bible school and go in there to a faith school and say, can't pay my bills, sorry, what you going to do about it? That's how I used to live my life. Quit jobs at a whim, owe people money. Oh well, what do you want me to do? That's how I used to be. I don't want to be that guy anymore. So I thought, what do I do? What do I do? Well, this is the reasoning I came out. I don't know if it was the Holy Ghost or not, but this is what I thought of. I said, I'm going to pay for my truck, because if I don't pay for my truck, I can't even get to school anyway, so it doesn't matter. I said, and now here's the thing. At that point in my life, the only really thing I knew about prosperity was that the Bible said in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's all I really knew about prosperity at that point, you know, that had really kind of sunk into me. I'd heard that. And so I paid for the truck, you know, but now I need $300, and I need it by like a day or two. Because I'm not going into that office and telling them I don't have it. And I'm not calling family members that are going to tell me no. I'm not doing it. I said, Lord, I got on my knees. I said, Lord, you said in your word that you'd meet all my needs. I said, now, Father, I certainly would have not called myself to this wilderness called Broken Arrow. I mean, number first thing I said to him is the hunting stinks around here. I'm telling you, it did. It wasn't anything like what we have up here. I said, the hunting stinks. I wouldn't have called myself here. I said, I'm away from family, friends, everything, but comfortable to be. I don't want to be here. I said, I'm here because of you. And I said, you said in the word that you'd meet all my needs. I said, this is a need. That's why I told him. And so I got down on my knees. I said, Father, according to your word, I believe what you said. I believe that that money will come in Jesus' name. Now, I was so full of faith. You know, I was a little squirrely back then. I told the story last night of how squirrely I was. You know, when I first got to Rhema, I had to buy some furniture and buy some appliances and things like that because I couldn't fit everything in my truck. And so I went down to the local Salvation Army, and they had a beautiful vacuum cleaner. I mean, this thing looked like it wasn't even used. But the problem was, it said Dirt Devil. I know, you think it's funny. But I'll tell you what, that stressed me out. I just paced the floor. Can I buy this thing? Is it okay for a Rhema student to have a dirt devil in his house? Squirrely things, you know? Trying to get a hold of Pastor Michael. You know those dumb questions you ask your pastor. I've been there, praise God. Is it okay? Couldn't get a hold of him, and I just stressed out. So stressed, what do I do? But the price was so good, money was talking to me. And the squirreliness of me was talking to me. And finally I said, you know what? I'm going to get the thing. If Pastor Michael says it's wrong, I'll take it back. I bought it, got a hold of him. He started laughing and said, you're fine. Little did I know and realize the whole time my favorite college basketball team is the Duke Blue Devils. That didn't bother me, but the Red Devil did, you know. And so I was squirrely. And after I got done praying, see if I think that money will come, I got up, I had a Cabela's magazine on the back of the toilet, just telling you the truth, you know, sometimes you need some good material in certain places in life, and what's better than a Cabela's magazine, you know, make all your wish lists and wants and things. And so I said to the Lord, I said, in my squirreliness, now I knew this wouldn't happen, but as an act of faith, I said to him, Father, I believe you so much that money's going to come before I need it, that I could wake up the next morning and there would be $300 in this magazine. I said, that's how much I believe. Now, that's not how God gets you money. He doesn't have money in heaven to take it down and put it in your Bible, in your Cabela's magazine on the toilet. But that was an act of faith, saying that to him, that I'm all in, Father. I believe you. And I began to rejoice in my apartment. Thank you, Lord, your word is true. Thank you, Lord, your word is true. And I woke up the next morning. I went in the bathroom and opened that thing up, standing there, and I looked, and the money's not there. And I had a little laugh with God, but I knew that wasn't how it was going to happen. I said, Father, thank you, it's coming. It was either that day or the next day when it was due. I was sitting in class, and someone said to me, they said, you know, Lord said something to my spirit today and said that someone around me needed money. So I asked, Lord, is it this person? Is it this person? Is it this person? He said, I went through three people. And Lord said, no, it's not them. It's them. So I'm here to ask you, do you need money? I said, I do need money. Didn't tell them how much. They said, okay, well, I'm going to obey God. And they had some folded up money and they stuck it in my the breast pocket of my suit here. And I walked out to my truck, got my truck, and I pulled it out. And I needed $300. And there were three crisp $100 bills. And a $10 bill. And so I went down to Mazio's like anybody would have. Say, what's Mazio's? Only the place with the best ham and cheese calzones on the planet. And I bought a ham and cheese calzone and dipped that thing in ranch dressing and had Pepsi. And I celebrated my victory. And that happened to me several times throughout school where I'd go to show up and pay for it with the money. And they'd say, it's already been paid this month. Well, who did it? We can't say. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was in the hospital facing that appendix bill and called to find out the balance. They said, wow, Mr. Anderson, you must have really impressed somebody around here. I said, oh, yeah, why? What'd I do? They said, someone came in and randomly and honestly paid most of your whole bill for this hospital bill. Well, we were believing God that it'd be taken care of because I didn't have insurance when it happened. He's faithful, man. I mean, if you'll give him your faith, you won't believe what will happen. So my point is this, though. I'm in Rhema. I'm not where I am today as far as knowing what I know from what I knew back then. I was just squirrely. But I was squirrely enough to just believe God's word. And it happened. Now in closing, because I want to close and get this done in 10 minutes here. I want to prove to you this morning how strong your faith is. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the ability to believe for the impossible. It's in you. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I'm going to show you. Go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. I'm going to show you how strong it is. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Just silly enough to believe God's word. And what is faith? Faith is just simply believing God. Yeah, I know the natural says I need to pay this $300 and I don't have it, but Lord, you said it'll come. So Father, I'm just dumb enough to believe you. Faith the size of a mustard seed can turn the world around. Change the whole world. Let me prove to you how strong your faith is on the inside of you. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or happened this way. Whew, I get chills when I start to preach this. We have bookends to our faith. A beginning and an end of our faith. And then in the middle, we reside in here. But let me show you the first bookend. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph before they came together, before they do what husband and wives do to make babies, it says before that happened, she was found pregnant with a child from the Holy Ghost. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you here this morning believe that Jesus was born to a virgin? Raise your hand if you believe that. I mean, that's one of the foundations of our faith, right? That's why he was different. He wasn't born through natural means and come through natural bloodlines. He was born, conceived from the Holy Ghost. But you believe that, don't you? And you believe that he was in heaven before that, but became a baby inside of that mama's belly. You believe that. Holy Ghost. She was a virgin. How many of you believe Mary was a virgin? We all believe that. Do you know how dumb that sounds? Do you know how impossible that is to happen? Right? Now, I know they have ways nowadays you can do things with in vitro and different things like that. But I'm talking back then. Do you know how impossible it was to be found with a baby and the guy had nothing to do with it? But you all believe it. There's nobody that raised their hand in here that I could talk you out of that. What am I telling you? You have faith on the inside of you to believe for the impossible. We don't realize this a lot of times. We beat ourselves up. But no, the very foundation of what you believe proves to me how much your faith is and where your faith is. I mean, you believe it without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was. So that thing that you're facing that's impossible, oh yeah, you got faith for the impossible. That thing that you're believing that there's no natural way, you got that kind of faith. You just proved it to me. Well, let's keep going and close here. Go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. I'm almost done, I promise. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Talking about Jesus, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So now we talk about his birth, now let's talk about his death. Now, we believe as Christians that we get the forgiveness of sins, which cleanses us, enables us to be in right fellowship with God, and enables us to be able to go stand in the presence of a perfect God, because Jesus took it. So we believe that when Jesus hung on the cross, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that he who knew no sin was made sin. So how many of you believe here this morning that Jesus, when he hung on the cross, took everything you ever did wrong and everything you'll ever do wrong and took it to himself? How many of you believe that? If you don't, you can't be saved. Do you know how stupid that sounds? How impossible that what you believe. Because you also believe that Jesus was perfect on the earth. He was sinless, the Lamb without spot or blemish. How many of you believe Jesus lived a perfect life? I do. You know how impossible that is? You know how impossible it is for him to hang on a tree and you weren't even born yet or thought of and your sin was placed on him? But that's what the Word says and every one of you believe it. You know what that's called? It's called impossible. But you believe it. You believe it. Go to Mark 16. Just showing you what you have inside you. What kind of faith you have inside you. Mark 16. Excuse me. In verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher of the rising of the sun. Now remember, they're coming to anoint the dead body of Jesus. And they were talking amongst themselves as they were on their way to the tomb. They said, who's going to roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? Because why? It's huge. Those ladies couldn't do it themselves. When they looked, they saw that the stone was already rolled away, for it was very great. So, wow, that's problem's taken care of. Someone already did it for us. And when they entered into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. What were they seeing? An angel. There's an angel sitting in the tomb of Jesus. Woo, I get chills. Makes me do this. Woo, glory to God. Yes, I believe this stuff. And he said unto them, don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Remember we just talked about his crucifixion? He took your sins, which was crucified. He is risen. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Well, let me ask you a question. We know he died for our sins. How many of you believe that he rose from the dead victorious for us? Can't talk you out of it, can I? You know, the Bible says the Holy Ghost has been given to us as a down payment. So like when the natural's like, well, how could that be your mind? The Spirit on the inside of you is the down payment that says, I know it's true. I might not be able to explain everything and figure it out up here, but in here, you can't talk me out of it. That's what the Spirit is, a down payment. An earnest of our guarantee, the Bible says, but that means down payment. It gives us the Holy Ghost to know that we're not crazy. You can't talk me out of the fact that he rose again. But again, do you know how dumb and impossible that is? But yet every single one of you that believe in him cannot be talked out of the fact that Christ died and rose again. Completely impossible, no natural way. But everyone, he says, I believe it. You have faith for the impossible. You're proving it to yourself this morning. We just not had this revealed to us, but thank God the prophets came in and revealed things by the Spirit of God to your pastor, who's now revealing it to you. Woo-hoo, praise God. And last but not least, Acts chapter 1. We'll close here. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 10. Or no, verse 9. This is when Jesus was speaking after he had risen from the dead. And when he had spoken these things, while they were looking or beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received Jesus out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Last night I got my words mixed up. I said there were two white guys there. But they were men in white apparel. I don't know what race they were. I don't know what color they were. But they were wearing white. Last night I flubbed it up a little bit. We know I have a way of doing that sometimes. But two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, they're angels by the way, why do you stand here looking into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you shall so come in a like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Let me ask you a question. We've talked about his birth. We've talked about his death. Two impossible things that you are sold out on that I can't talk you out of. How many of you are absolutely 100% convinced without a shadow of a doubt Jesus is coming back? Woo, I believe it! He's coming like the Bible says on the clouds. The trump's going to sound and we're going to meet him in the air. That's what the word says. You can't talk me out. I don't care how dumb it sounds. I don't care how unnatural it sounds. That's what I believe. You know what I believe? The impossible. Why? Because I got impossible type faith on the inside of me, just like you do. You have mountain-moving, impossible, no natural way type of faith dwelling in you. That which you're facing may be impossible, maybe not natural, but faith can get it done because faith can do all things. And now I just proved to you, you have what it takes. Everybody say this with me. Let's close our eyes and say, my faith is enough to move the mountains in my life. Say it again. My faith is enough to move the mountains in my life. One more time. My faith is enough to move the mountains in my life, in Jesus' name. Now praise him. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you what, we got the devil on the run this morning. He's getting stripped of his power in this service. Him telling you, you're not enough. Pastor Mike could do that. Brother Dufresne could do that. Brother Hagen could do that. You're not, no, you're going to have to keep waiting. No. You have so much faith on the inside of you, and you just proved it to the world that you got impossible believing type faith. Praise God. Father, we love you today. We're so thankful and so grateful for the word. Father, you're so good to us. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for everything you've given to us. Father, we're so grateful. Father, the word says it is you that's given us a measure of faith. But Father, our faith has not stayed small. It's not stayed at mustard seed size. Father, we hear the word constantly. We feed on this. It's grown, and the devil's lied to us. The world's lied to us. Situations and circumstances have lied to us. But no, we know we have what it takes. We have a force on the inside of us that even if it was just as small as a mustard seed, which we've proved it's not that small, we have that force on the inside of us to obliterate and remove any mountain that stands in our way. So, Father, we thank you for the force of faith. Now, we don't brag about our faith because we know it's just you that moves through our faith. So, Father, we take our eyes off our circumstances. We take our eyes off our situation. And we put them on you, Father. For the same way the angel told Mary when she was facing something that was so impossible that you're going to have a child and Joseph's not going to be involved and it just blew her mind, the angel said something that's so key if we get a hold of for our lives. Nothing shall be impossible for God. And she simply said, according to your word, be it done unto me. So Father, whatever we're facing, it looks impossible, so what? There's nothing that's impossible for you. So that whole worry that it's impossible and there's no chance, no hope, no natural way, that's taken away with nothing is impossible for God. Praise God. So we put our eyes on you this morning, the God of the impossible. And Lord, we know what we have on the inside of us is enough for you to work through, to move, obliterate, shatter, destroy those yokes and those mountains in our life. But we look to you, Father, and we thank you for it. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Everybody that's here that can hear my voice, ask yourself this question this morning. If today were my last day on planet Earth, ask yourself that. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. And you might think, Pastor, how can you be so sure? How do you know for sure? Well, thank God the Bible tells me how to make sure I can go to heaven. Now, here's the neat thing about what the Bible says. God's made it easy. He didn't say it was about your good works outweighing your bad. He didn't say it was about if you've given to charity or not. He didn't say if it was about your church attendance. No, that's what the world might say and that's what religion might say. But the Bible says, whosoever believes on him would not perish. Not the perfect church attender, not the one that does everything right in life, not the most generous to charity. No, no, no. What you do with Jesus determines your eternity. And if you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. If you can say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like that assurance. Well, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to become a member of this church. You, in fact, don't have to ever step foot in this place ever again to get to heaven. He said whoever would call on his name would be saved, not who would go to church, not who would be a good person. So if you're here this morning, you can say, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, Pastor, but I want to be sure. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. That's it. Now, that doesn't mean you have everything figured out in your head and you understand everything. But what I'm saying is in your heart of hearts, you know Christ was real. You know that he died and rose again. You can't explain it. You can't figure it out. But there's a knowing on the that's called your spirit. Your spirit knows it. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to go to heaven, and you can say, I believe in him, I'm going to give you the opportunity. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't embarrass anybody, I promise you. I won't have anybody stand up. I won't have anybody come forward. And I won't have anybody say anything on their own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you want to receive Jesus for the first time in your life, you can say, I've never asked him into my heart. Because you have to ask him into your heart. He says, you've got to call on his name. It's not just believing, you've got to call on his name. If you can say, I've never done that before, but I want to receive Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I promise you we won't embarrass you. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, would you just slip your hand in the air? You can put it right back down. We're not going to embarrass anybody. Anybody at all in this place want to make Jesus their Lord for the very first time. Again, you're not costing you anything. You're not declaring anything other than, I believe in him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I like to give this a minute because sometimes people are shy. Say, how do I know that's me? Your heart's telling you, don't miss out. Don't miss out. Is there anybody in this service today that you want to receive Jesus for the first time? Just lift your hand high and put it right back down. Anybody at all before I close? Father, I don't see any hands. But Father, there may be people that are shy and don't want to raise their hands. And Father, certainly raising our hands doesn't get us born again. And there might be people listening right now in the archives or listening by live stream right now or in the future by the archives that, Father, I'd never be able to see their hand. So it's not the hand raised that gets us born again. So if you're here this morning, if you're listening to me now or in the future by the archives, and you say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I've never done that. Well, we're going to give you an opportunity. The way that you assure that is to invite him into your life. But I said I wouldn't embarrass anybody. We're all going to pray a prayer. And that prayer, the contents of that prayer, the meat of that prayer is going to be declaring your belief in the Lord and asking him into your heart. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, or if you're listening by the internet right now or in the future, along with everybody else in this church, let's go ahead and make a declaration of our faith today. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross
for my sin.
I believe that you rose from the dead, and I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. Let me encourage you. If you did pray that for the first time but didn't want to raise your hand, that's okay. If you meant it, he saves you. I like to know who raised their hand so I can minister to you, talk to you after, tell you some things, you know, that will help you. But let me just encourage everybody here. The next step from the place of salvation is to find a Bible teaching church. Amen? Doesn't have to be this one, but it does need to be Bible teaching if you want to grow and fulfill God's plan for your life. There's a lot of churches that aren't preaching the Bible. Find one that's preaching the Bible. We'll preach the Bible here. We'd love to have you here, but you go where God's calling you. But plant in that church, be faithful, learn what God has for you, and watch your world start to change. And if you did pray that and you were just a little shy to raise your hand, if you could come up and let me know, Pastor, that was the first time I prayed that. I want to get you something and be a blessing to you. But let's go ahead. Let's stand on our feet. Let's praise God before we go. Father, we love you. We glorify you. Father, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you for all that's been prepared in the fellowship room, Father. We pray that you'd bless the people that prepared that. We pray that that food would be blessed to our body. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.
Can you see the road ahead that you've been down?